You are listening to WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network, coming to you from the heart of the Q in Quitman, Mississippi.
Old Men Stories, a show just about old men? Not hardly. It's a name that conjures up the image of someone who's been through it all, seen it all, and survived it all, like the storytellers of old. That wisdom comes with age. But all age is relative. You don't have to be old. You don't have to be male. You just have to live the story and survive to tell the tale. Join Master Storytellers Roland Willits and Jeff Young now as we start today's journey.
Roland Willits
and Jeff Young.
Old Men Stories. Welcome to our show. We have some wonderful stories to share. This is a little introduction of what we will share this hour. During our 92nd show, we make our visit to the post office, that place where we put things in a box or envelope and hand them to someone or put them in a slot. These items magically become mail and find their way to a destination. We've all spent some time at a post office or getting things ready to mail. Let's just hope our picture is not posted there. First, look at all the occasions you had to use the post office. Remember the hassles, finding a suitable container. Second, what were your adventures in and around a post office? Was it rural or maybe big city? Your adventures could be from quietly wrapping packages to watching a postal gun battle. Just post a old man's story. Third, we share fun stories. Fourth, we have some new masters sharing life stories.
Welcome to Old Men's Stories. And we have here today Roland Willits. And Jeff Young, I think you're still in the line at the post office, Roland.
I think he's stuck somewhere in line, yes. Yes, it was funny last week. I was listening to the story, and I had went out and did my swim on the lake, and I came back in, and there I was, sitting there looking at it as the story went, and all of a sudden, this old man just nodded off. And I thought that was so terrible to leave Jeff in the lurch. Thank golly, I get to make up for it now. Post offices are so cool sometimes. They're getting better than they used to. I went down to the post office the other day, and they have these boxes that you can find stuff to put stuff in. And they got standard boxes, and they're really nice. They're easy to put together. And it's almost fun mailing, and it's just surprising. From remember when I had to go find a box, and then you'd get it all done, you'd bring it in, and you'd put it on the counter, and they'd look at it, and they'd say, well, you should do it this way and that way and this way and that way, and you go through all of this stuff, getting it just the way they wanted. But now it's just sticker in that box that you buy it right there at the post office and put it on there, and they get it to your destination. Just phenomenal. So you have a real post office there, right? You had a small one.
Oh, you mean in my little town here? Sure, yeah.
In your little town.
Post office. Yeah.
Yeah, aren't they nice people in there?
Yeah, they are. We've got a counter that has two clerks, so we're actually big enough to rate two clerks, although there's usually only one behind the counter at one time. And, yeah, we get good mail service here.
And, you know, here in Pelican, which is Pelican Rapids, Minnesota, up in the heart of the Lake Country, and there they have a small post office, and the people are so nice. And also, we got another one in the other direction called Detroit Lakes, and they're nice. I come in, and I look confused, and they say, what? And I give them my little spiel. They ask me. They just look up there and ask, what? And I say, and they say, oh, over there. It's that one. It's the third one over. That's the one you should use. And then they laugh when they do it. I said, where should I put the name? Anywhere up there. Okay. And I write it out. I said, ah, that's cool. We're all set. And we just started having fun mailing things. And it hasn't always been that way at post office for me. But it is up in the rural area. In the cities, they're a little more formal. But I found even in Union City that the post office are getting nicer to work with. I think that's cool.
Have you ever
worked for the post office?
Never worked for them, no, but I've certainly spent plenty of time in and out of a post office. I had a mail order business at one time, so I was going there and dumping in hundreds of letters at a time way back when. I don't do that anymore, but I used to.
Okay. Another job to survive, right?
Yeah.
I
like
understand.
Radio much better. Much better.
Yes, yes. Another job to survive. I had I've worked for the post office, but it was, part time. And it was Christmas time. And I did two different jobs at the post office on different Christmases. You ever work part time for them? Or just delivered packages to them?
I just delivered packages to them.
Oh, well, I'll tell a little story about my time working inside the post office. We have a neighbor across the alley from us on Longfellow Avenue, and his name was Stan Swidock. And Stan worked for the post office his whole life. And Stan was just a quiet, easygoing guy. And his wife, Gladys, was wonderful. And my ma always was looking for a job for us. So she called Stan and said, can you see if they need post office workers for Christmas time at the post office? If my son could do it. So he checked and he said, will you check over here and here and here and talk to this person? And I already got it all set up for you. So I went down to the post office. And it was like, we have no jobs. And I said, I'm supposed to talk to this person here. Oh, okay. Then I walked over there and I said, Stan Swidock said for me to talk. He said, oh, good. He said, fill this paper out right here and you can start tomorrow.
Good.
Well, it was wonderful. It was Christmas time. And I went in there and I didn't know where Stan worked. It was all new to me. And he worked in the parcel department. And the parcel department is taking packages, and when they come in, all the stuff come in for the city, and they start in these big conveyors, and they keep breaking them down into smaller and smaller units till you got to get them into a routing. And it's pretty cool. I mean, they walked me through it the first time, and they had these conveyors that just had all this stuff, and then they had these fellows all along the big conveyor. And they would grab these packages and put them into these chutes, these big metal chutes that went down into another part of the post office. And this was a Minneapolis post office. And I would watch them take them off, and they would see everyone, and they would leave the ones go by that didn't belong to them. And this conveyor was on a circle, so if they missed one and went by, they'd catch it the next time around. But they had it was a really good system, and every person that had a drop had about five or six chutes that that he found for the mailings for his area, and he put them in those chutes. And then they brought me down, and they brought me to Stan, and they said, Stan, here's your helper. You teach him what to do. And Stan says, hi, Roland. Says, I didn't get to know each other well, did we? I said, no. He says, well, we will now. I'm going to teach you how I run this area of my postal domain. See this filling up as I was sitting and talking? I'm going to have to turn around and start moving stuff. And what Stan had was he had a whole bunch of these big canvas bags, and they were held open over a frame. And they were sort of in a big square area. And each one of them went to a different carrier. So he had about 8 carrier routes. And what he would do is they came down, he'd find out the address, and he'd know which area that went in, and he'd put it into the canvas bags. Now, if it had fragile, he'd sort of gently put it in. If it didn't have fragile, it would get in. And But he would, I mean, he didn't, he wasn't mean. I mean, he was never, Stan was just a nice guy. He would never try a overhead jump shot. But he would come in, and it was really cool. And he would go, and he knew all this stuff. Man, he knew every one of us. And so he says, okay, Roland, start looking for these addresses and just, so I would get the package, and I'd go around and have the addresses on little tabs above all the, you know, the canvas bags. And I'd walk around, and then I'd find it, I'd stick it in, and I'd go back, and I'd, well, after about 4 hours, I started picking up the easy ones, you know, and I would pretty much know it. And, you know, about halfway through the second day, I was going pretty good. I had it down pretty good. But Stan and I worked that, and then Stan got a little ahead. He'd say, okay, and the informant comes and say, Stan, you got a little, you know, you're a little ahead, go over. And then I would go over, they'd send me over to another person. I'd go over there and say, okay, I know how to do it. And then I'd start the same tedious process of taking the box and going around and reading all the little addresses on the tabs and throwing the boxes in the bags. Well, that was interesting. And also I found out this isn't something I really want to do for the rest of my life. But, you know, it's the people were nice. I found the hard workers, and then you found sort of the slackers. I was back in one of the places for lunch, and then I saw movement up in this pile of bags. And I says, who's there? And this guy says, shut up, go away.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he was taking a nap. So I remember that, you know, and it was like, and then after that, I got that there were people that sort of hid when they were supposed to work. But that wasn't Stan. He was a Norwegian, and no, he's Swedish. He was a Swede, and he made sure that he did his job every day. And remember years later, just, you know, 10, 15 years ago, I got a note that Stan Stidak had died.
Oh.
And I really felt bad. Yep. Yeah. Well, he'd have been in his, I think he'd probably been over 100 now.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't have been over 100 now. He'd been in the 90s, early 90s. But, oh, Stan was just a nice guy. And that's what happened on Longfellow Avenue.
Were you there during
the
Christmas?
Yeah, that was Christmas time. That was during Christmas time. Yeah, that's when they needed that extra staff, because they were super overloaded during Christmas time. The parcel service was... Nowadays, they have all of the other services, the FedEx and the UPS, handling a huge majority of what used to go to the post office. But I'm sure the post office is still pretty busy.
Yeah, you know, I have memories in my town here. I've lived here now for, going on 13 years. And I remember when I first got here, it was still pretty much a community event every Christmas. You know, everybody's going to go to the post office with their packages, and you're going to stand in long lines waiting for your turn. But the fun thing was you were in there in line, and there was probably somebody else you knew there in line too, so you'd be getting to chit-chat. And so the time kind of passed. You just kind of expected that if you were going to be late to the post office with your packages, you were going to stand in line. But like you say, nowadays, and I do the same thing, I don't even go to the post office anymore to mail my packages. I buy whatever I'm going to buy online, and it gets shipped to me, and I don't even go there anymore for Christmas. I go there plenty of other times. But there are some traditions associated with those post office lines and things that are kind of going away too, I think.
Because they worked for years and years. Yeah, that was one season at the post office. And the next season... I got in, and I went to sign up, and they said, have you had experience at the post office? Oh, absolutely. And then I had experience. And they said, well, you have your choice. You can work in, the post office, or you can take and be a contractor and deliver packages. I says, well, how does that work? And they showed me it, and man, I could make a lot more money taking my car and delivering packages. So I was a parcel delivery person for the next Christmas. And you would go in there and you'd sign off and they'd give you this list, this big list with things to deliver. And you were a postman. And they had some of the hardest addresses to find. They were in the middle of nowhere. And you just look around and look around. And finally, you'd ask people, and then you'd find it in some cubbyhole somewhere. You'd find some of the boxes delivered. Most of them went to just nice houses, and you'd go in. And it was a lot of fun when you're delivering Christmas packages when they'd yell and say, "Hey, Mom, Grandma just brought, sent a package in," and you'd just sort of smile and feel like Santa Claus. That was some cool times. Remember having the kids go to the door and open it up and get a package from someone special and yelling back?
Oh, yeah. That's back in my earlier memories. Oh, yes. I mean, like the postman was somebody really special, especially around the holidays. Indeed.
Now it's a UPS driver or the FedEx driver.
Right.
Or the post person.
Yeah, the postman still brings me some pretty cool stuff sometimes.
Our post people here in our rural area are so nice. I guess they know I'm elderly and Terry's, and we have a little window in the door, and if I turn around and they see me through the door, they'll wave and open the door and put the package in and close it and leave.
Mm-hmm.
And wave and say, hi, and I'm sure at Christmas time they say, "Merry Christmas." Do you have a regular mailbox, or do you have one of those rural mailbox where they have on the post?
Well, mine's on the post. We're in more of an in-town area, as you know, but the mailbox is on a post, so the little Jeep comes by and leaves the mail. And you were mentioning about how the postman is nice to you, being elderly. Well, I guess he thinks I'm elderly too. So when he stops by the box and he has a package for me as well as the letters, he'll quite frequently just get out if he's got time. He'll get out of his Jeep and he'll take the mail and the package and take the whole thing to the front door and knock on the door, and it's so nice.
That is nice. That is nice. It is nice to get it, They know you by name yet or not?
Oh, I think they do. We're a small enough town that I think pretty well people know each other by name. The ones, most people know each other by name or by face or something. It's pretty hard to stay incognito in a small town, as you probably know.
No, it isn't. It isn't hard. It's impossible.
There you go.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I've got a quick little story about a postman, by the way. Somebody I knew who was a postman, and I kept trying to get in contact with him. It was somebody that was a friend, and I needed to contact him regarding something very important. And all the normal ways, the telephone, looking around for him or whatever, he worked a postal route in an entirely different area. This was when I was living in a big city, too. And I was really getting frustrated. I needed to get a hold of him. I had some information to pass on. He really needed to get it. And the phone wouldn't work. Any other way I knew it wouldn't work. I suppose I could have placed an ad in the paper, but he probably didn't read that either. And then it was like, duh, how do you get a hold of him? He's a postman. Duh. I wrote him a letter. And he got it.
That is cool. Now, you finally, it's sort of like, and I could have had a V8.
There you go, right. It was one of those duh moments. He definitely got the message. Nowadays, if you really want to make an impression on somebody, sure, you can email them, text them, do all this other stuff online. You can call them if you can reach them. But if you really want to get their attention, send them a handwritten letter. There is hardly any such thing anymore. They will pay attention.
Yep, isn't that something? What used to be, what was old is now new.
Right.
Yeah, it's what used to be common is now special.
Mm-hmm.
That's That's just great.
Yeah, another postal tradition that's kind of gone by the way a lot is Christmas cards. You know, the volume of Christmas cards is way down from what it used to be. I mean, I've got friends now that will send me an online Christmas card if they send me one at all, and I'm certainly pretty poor about sending cards. But I can remember here again when that was a tradition. You send the cards, and that was another thing you got loaded up at the post office over the holidays. And speaking of getting loaded up, I think the board just got it loaded up with a new caller. Let's see. Jeff, are you
there? Hello, it's me. Sorry I'm late.
Yeah, we've heard you got caught in a line at the post office.
Something like that. Got routed to the wrong place.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, I'll let you all carry on. It's time for me to bow out and go back to producing.
Well, Jeff, it is nice. I grabbed Sharon and kept stories going wonderfully. It was just it was my turn. I loved it. I says, I caught up maybe one time of Jeff's superhero activities. Well, we have about 2 minutes. You have a small story?
Well, I can probably say the longer story for after the break then, but I wanted to say something about the post office in general, and that as much as people don't understand that the government requires money to run, we've been hearing for a very long time about how the post office is behind on its pension payments and it's trying not to go bankrupt. And I have to say that when I was a kid, some of the most fun memories I've ever had was waiting for the mail to come. Because I was one of those kids who liked writing letters. And even though my handwriting was horrible at the time, I had a pen pal in France and one in various other places. So having mail coming from all over the world was definitely a lifeline of mine. Because living in the city, I didn't tend to get out very much. Really nowhere to go, not much to do when you're not old enough to ride the bus. But there was always the idea of mailing away for stuff too. And I will tell you one of my adventures in postal mailing after the break. But for the time being,
right,
I can certainly talk about the fact that one of the very first places that I would look for when I moved to new places, where was the nearest post office? Because I got to have my mail.
That's right. Where, you know, in my travels right now, I have a hard time having people keep track of where I'm at because we really don't do forwarding because Terry and I might be on the road for 4 months. So we don't really have a place to get mail. So normally we have all the mail sent to the office. And then we call in when we're settled for over 3 or 4 days and have them forward it all to that spot. But then we get settled down, like in Pelican here, for several months. And we do like to get our mail right here because at the office, we think we're sort of a burden to them to have to sort out Roland and Terry's mail and forward it. They probably might love it, but we feel guilty. We sort of make sure that they don't have any more load on them for handling our personal activity than they have to. So that's how we handle the mail now when we're traveling. So mail has always been super a problem with our world and getting something from one place to another. And as I've read in history and studied, every country always sets up a postal system. It seems to be one of the universals of governments is the first thing is to start setting up communication links. And post office is almost always the first thing. It had, you know, in the West, it had the Pony Express. Remember that, Jeff?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd not personally.
I always wanted to be Kit Carson, yes.
You're we'll be back
Kit
after
Carson,
the break,
you were just a pony person.
See you in a little bit with World Event Stories.
You're listening to Old Men Stories on WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network. Roland and Jeff will be right back with more of Old Men Stories after this short break.
Thank you. This is Terry Willits, Mom Software, giving stability, service, and excellence.
Thank you, Terry, for the leadership at Mom Software and the noble example you set for all. From our home here in Silicon Valley, and from where it all started in San Francisco 35 years ago, we welcome you to Old Men Stories. We hope you will continue listening to our radio presentation. We know you will hear a few wonderful stories that started from the home of Mom Software. www.momsoftware.com. One word, one S.
Old Men Stories on WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network. You're invited to join the circle and share your comments and questions in our always open chat room at http://oldmenstories.wq4dradio.com. That's http://oldmenstories.wq4dradio.com. Now, let's give a warm welcome to our hosts, Roland and Jeff, as we continue today's storytelling journey.
Welcome back, everyone. And one of the things that always kind of amused me about post office and just the idea of getting different stamps for different things. And I can't really say I was much of a stamp collector, but my grandfather was on my dad's side. And he used to have these books that were he had filled with old stamps. And it wasn't that they were the stamps that he bought and collected, but rather he apparently traveled extensively as part of his job career that he had. And he would take the letters and tear off the top corner with a stamp on it and paste it into his book. Or sometimes he'd just have the entire envelope in there and it would be canceled and you kind of see where the letter came from and when it was posted. And it was sort of a little bit of frozen history there. And I remember the first time that I got to go to the post office by myself. And when I was a kid, I signed up for a bunch of things thinking that the word free meant free. And I signed up for these animal cards from the World Wildlife Federation. And they came in the mail in this beautiful green box to store stuff in with a bunch of cards talking about various animals. And I couldn't tell you what those animals were since I think I was maybe 5 or 6 at the time. But they said, okay, here's your first set of free cards in the box that you get complimentary for free with your subscription to our magazine. And every month you're going to get more animal cards put in your box. If you don't like them, you can send them back. Now, if you do like them, you need to pay extra money for them. So at the time I got them in the mail, I looked at them, and my mom said, you know, we really can't afford for you to keep having these cards, so why don't you go ahead and send them back? And one of the things about those days is that they didn't actually do postage paid for you and those kind of things. So she gave me, I think it was $1.32 in change, just enough to put the postage down on the packet of cards, and send them back. And the post office was right down the road at the corner. In retrospect, she probably should have gone with me. But you figure it's going to the corner and back, it's not a real problem. So I go down to the post office that I was not even as tall as could reach the top of the counter. And I basically gave the envelope to the woman behind the counter, and she put it on the old postal scale, and she said, that'll be $1.28. I give her the money. And she hands me the stamps, and I went and took the envelope and stuck it in the mail slot. I came home, and I told my mom, look, I did it, I ran the errand, and they even gave me free stamps. Because I'd seen my grandfather's stamp collection, I figured, oh, okay, they're free stamps with this. Mom said, those stamps are supposed to go on the envelope. Oh, I said, I didn't know that. Should I go get it back? And she said, you can't. The post office is closed. I said, what happens now? She said, they'll probably send it back to you. And sure enough, a few days later, the package showed up in the mail. And it said, unable to deliver due to improper postage. And I had those stamps, and I stuck them on there and sent it back after that. But I was really embarrassed, and I never made that mistake again. I actually really enjoy waiting post offices, though, because especially around here, they always decorate them with some motif. And we should probably get to our story, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that afterwards when we have time left. Unless you have anything else to add, Roland.
No, I think when I interviewed him, a nice postal person, but, you know, and his wife. Take it away, Sharon.
Roland Willits, Old Men's Stories. I'm sitting in the background on this, and I'm just absolutely thrilled. We have Iris and Irv Ullman, and this is about the post office for our radio show. And Irv was a postman for 26 years. And then he had 30 years in because he had four. And he was a communications, which is close to post office, in the military. He was in the Air Force. And he was over in Germany at the time. Or was he? Was it in Germany?
England, Germany, France.
England, Germany, France. Oh, okay. Yeah, that was in his wilder days. We're going to talk with him today, and we're going to cover the postal area. And, Irv, you work here in Pelican, right?
No, I was part-time, flexible.
How about it?
Did you work? Mail carrier for 2 years.
Oh.
And 24 in the office as a clerk.
Okay. Did you have any, you know, things where someone came in and tried to rob you or anything?
No, never had any problem that way.
See that? Postal, everything in the postal is quiet and serene, right?
Yes.
Those people come in and don't complain a bit, right?
I wouldn't say that.
Oh.
We won't mention them.
Oh, that's the ones we want to mention. You have any real irate ones that want to come over the wall?
No.
You did? No, okay.
Once if the Social Security check was late, wait. They come and let you know.
They would come and let you know if there's the SS checks.
We would tell them, why don't you have direct deposit then?
That was just a short time ago, direct deposit. That was within the last 8-10 years. They have direct deposit before that?
Oh, yeah. I had it there. I've been retired going on 25 years. That was before that.
Wow.
Yeah, they had direct deposit, yeah.
Wow.
As I did.
I know I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, when you drove around, you did all the routes in this whole area, all our lake routes.
Well, I started on was Route 3.
And where did that go?
Well, I got to give credit to one man that got me into the post office because I had no idea of postal career, not in it at all. He asked me to be a substitute mail carrier, and I agreed I would do that. And I worked 2 years at that, and then somebody got sick or something, so I'd go to another route. And the same thing happened again, so I hauled an alder up. Well, I was about the only one in the area that was really acquainted because I did TV service for many years. So I knew practically where everybody lived. I didn't even have to go out on the route. I just looked at the letter and I knew where it would go. So it worked out really well.
Oh, so you were a traveler. Through the rain and the snow and the sleet and the hail.
Have you heard of Maplewood Park, the whole route? One Route 3 was in Maplewood.
Maplewood is sort of jungle.
Yeah.
It's northern jungle.
Well, it was good winter time. They didn't really follow the road too good down there. And you get back in there, and it was the days before, you know, cell phones, you know. And I remember one time I was back in there by Maplewood Church, going down the hill and a curve in the bottom and a long hill. I think it was at least 6 times I tried to make it, and I finally did.
Those are some pretty big hills there. That's surprising for Minnesota.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. Did you put chains on your tires?
No, never did.
Never did. Oh, no. You did the whole time. You had snow tires, though, right?
Oh, yeah. That was automatic.
That's a winter absolute here.
Yeah.
So, did you ever deliver it here at Lizzie?
Oh, yeah. I did. This was one of the relatives. Yeah.
Oh, you probably brought mail to my parents.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Pelican Lake and Maplewood Grove out west of town. It's a pretty big area.
Wow.
Blackwater Beach.
Which beach?
On Pelican Lake.
Oh, on Pelican Lake?
We had the southern side of Pelican Lake.
What did you do when you came to a mailbox like ours and it was broke down because some snow plow bent it over?
Well, we probably deliver the mail to you, but then you get fixed. Or you could come in and get it. We'd leave a note. You'd have to come and pick it up. That's all it was fixed.
Yeah, I think I've seen those. Yeah.
And packages too. We would try to deliver them at the door if they weren't home, or leave them by the mailbox. I still remember when I was 16 years old, the mailman, I ordered a new 12-gauge shotgun from Sears, the Wishbook, and he left it laying in the road ditch along by the mailbox. Well, there was the days when you trusted everybody,
That's right.
You don't do that today.
No, it's not. It's not quite the same ballgame. Yeah, the mail, they still will drop it off and put it in a little package and put it on the door.
Yeah. I had a friend of mine, he left that. He hung it on the mailbox. It was this man had ordered a suit. He had a dog that got a little inquisitive, and he tore it down and dragged the suit across the yard a little bit. And he thought he was going to have to buy a new suit, but he took it to the cleaner, and it was just like new. So he got lucky.
Otherwise,
he'd had to buy him a suit.
That was another postal worker, right?
That was another mail carrier. This was in Maplewood.
Oh, okay. And they all worked out of Pelican, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when you worked in the office, I it's like magic for me. When you worked in the office, you hand these mail packages across the counter, and they sort of disappear. And magically, they appear somewhere else. Mm-hmm. It's always been that way. Mm-hmm. So you're in that mysterious area. Did you ever work down the cities or anything in the big post office?
No, I just worked right here.
Okay. So when did you buy your home? You have a home right on the route here, right down on 59.
Yeah.
Did you have it when you were postal?
Yeah. I had a place in town, and I did my service work there too. And this house come up for sale, and it was kind of unusual. A friend told me about it and went out and talked to the fellow, and I told him, well, if I can sell my house, I'll buy yours. Well, he knew somebody was interested in my house, so within a week, the whole thing was made, and nobody even knew about it.
Those are the nicest things. Yeah. And you have a beautiful home right on the road in the Pelican. You got that beautiful lake view out of the back.
Yeah, we enjoy it there. I've been here since 69.
So, this is sort of miraculous that you went 26 years with... Did you have any accidents?
No, never had an accident.
You got to get this. This is special, and your greatest thing was not making a hill in Maple, in Maplewood Park.
No, it is Maplewood Park now.
It's what was it then? It was just
Maplewood
Township area. Yeah. And it seems to me because I drove winters when I was growing up with my dad to do this darn Tribune, deliver the bundles. And every once in a while, we'd have things that we wish didn't happen. Did you break down ever on your route?
One time, and that was because of snow, too. I got stuck, and I was trying to go back and forth, and I took the spider gears out of the rear end.
Oh, and so you were sitting there, and then...
No,
then
I... Yeah.
Well, how do you want to for a walk, too?
I got somebody. I guess I went to a home and called them, and they got somebody to pull me home.
Yeah, because you knew everyone, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. No problem.
So you just walked in and says, "Hey, Mike, can I use your phone? My car is down the road." Is that what you?
Yeah, it was about that way. Yeah, it was no problem.
Well,
that's in all the years. I mean, that's never had really any problem other than the weather. Wouldn't have been no problem.
That was that's the postal around here is weather is always.
We had one. I had a friend that it was an accident, but he was parked. Because his car was coming at him, so he pulled off to the side of the road as far as he'd go and stop, and the car drove right into him. So they had the postal inspector had an investigation, and had a postmaster. His name was Jim McDonald, and he would tell it like it was, you know. And the postmaster, he asked the postmaster, what could he have done to avoid the accident? Well, he says, well, the only thing I could figure out is if he just spent 5 more minutes having coffee, that he wouldn't have been there.
Iris, you handle it. Any stories you remember?
Well, I remember him telling me about some of the mail that they would get. We have a lot of Johnsons around here, and so they'd have to kind of figure out which Johnson sometimes it was. I think there was about 4 Donald Johnsons at one time. So they had to figure out, if they didn't have the address, complete address, who it belonged to. And I can remember him telling me that one time it came a gray-haired old grandma, and by the return address, they found out who it belonged to.
Wow.
And got it to the right person.
Oh, by the return address, yeah.
Grandma Johnson. Well, that's how we figured out the Donald Johnsons, because one had the supper club and one had, you know, and by their return address, what business it was, or the rear, you know, return address we could.
So
we
had
delivered.
You knew everyone and you knew their relatives? And
yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it is a big family here.
It's nice in a small town where you know everybody. And you, well, I lived around here all my life, so.
Well, you ever get nervous when he was out there and when there was a blizzard?
Well, by the time we were married, he was not out on the road anymore. He was just working as a clerk in the post office.
Oh, okay.
And I got up every morning and before 5 o'clock and fixed him a breakfast before he went in because he had to be to work at 5:30.
Were you working? Were you teaching then?
I was subbing in the Pelican school system when I first came here, but I would get up and make him a good breakfast, get him off to work. But I enjoyed that time of the day because we had children at home, and it was just a nice, peaceful time for me, you know, to have in the morning before I started getting the kids up for school and stuff.
So you made breakfast for him, and then you had to make breakfast for the kids afterwards.
Yeah.
So you went real early.
Well, I went to work at 5:30.
Oh, wow.
I wasn't full-time carrier or clerk. I was part-time flexible, they called it, with full benefits. And I'd go in and maybe work till 8:30, 9:30, and then go back in the afternoon. So it fit in real good with my television servicing. I had most of the day off, so the two worked very good together.
So you went right downtown and went to your store, which was right across from where McDonald's is now. It used to be Conoco, was the Conoco service place there.
Well, by this time come around, I had the shop in my home. Up there.
Oh.
So it worked out really well. But one thing about you getting up and making breakfast, the day when I retired, we had a party. Well, I had went down to the lawyer, and I got his envelope, and I got his letterhead, and then I had a friend type it all up, and she wondered what the heck this was. Well, it was to relieve her of getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to make me breakfast.
I thought he was going to ask for a divorce or something. But it was nice. He told me I didn't have to get up anymore for it. But.
Wow. Well, that was awesome to get up at 5 o'clock for all those years to send your postal carrier, a postal worker, out onto the road. It didn't have very far to drive, actually, into Pelican, but even then you get a good storm, and it's tough making a mess out of the driveway.
I can remember one morning, 59 was, I mean, it was really bad, and I first took one car, and I got stuck with that, and I went back and got the other one. I got stuck both of them. I walked out to the post office. There they were sitting on the road. Stuck.
So you just waited for it to melt or else them to plow out clear it a little and went back and picked them up during right after your 8, 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock time. Yeah, you were gonna walk back home. You could. It is a walk, but you could walk that fairly, you know. Mm-hmm. Fairly decent walk, but you could make that, couldn't you?
Didn't you take the snowmobile a few times?
Oh yeah, I went snowmobile a few times too.
To work.
Oh, okay. You have a snowmobile, so that would work, yeah. Well, what I want you to say now is Irv Ullman, Ullman Stories. And look at the cameras there. Say it.
Irv Ullman Story.
And I'll try it again. Irv Ullman, Old Ullman Stories. Because that's your last name. Ullman Stories.
Yeah. Say it. This is Irv Ullman Story.
Hey, you actually found someone who worked for the post office for this one. Worked nicely.
Yes, he had his. Because it was pretty cool because he had the business doing the TV sets. He used to deliver the TV sets all around. He knew most everyone, so he could do the different routes. It was really a nice compliment for in his life. But he was a hard worker. He worked 4 hours in the morning, went to work, and then he went to his business for 8 hours, and then went another 4 hours at the final end. And that he did that for years and years and years. They're good workers around Pelican up here. Jeff?
All right. Yeah, and I always worry about the fact that they talk about reducing mail service or stopping it altogether because of the competition that they have with online resellers and UPS and stuff. And I can say that while someone I know as a friend works for UPS, when it comes down to it, there's just something about going to the post office yourself and bringing in the mail or mailing your own mail, licking your own stamps and sticking your own envelopes. It just has this rustic charm to me. And one of the things I wanted to talk about today was the fact that a lot of the local Silicon Valley post offices have some sort of decorative motif. The one down in Campbell has this sort of farming backdrop to it, where they talk about a history of farming, and it's not quite a museum, but it's the closest thing to it. And they're always selling some sort of commemorative stamp, or one of the ones I really like are the sheet of stamps that have a picture on it, and each one is an individually done stamp in this set. And I just remember being fascinated by the idea of stamps when I was a kid. I don't know why anymore. But it was just sort of there as a personal like of mine. Or maybe it was just because I liked getting stickers.
Well, you know, you were talking about the motif.
Mm-hmm.
And that's funny because in Pelican Rapids, all of the merchants have different pelicans in front of their buildings. And each one is in the appropriate attire. And the one at the post office is set up like a mailman. So it's a mail pelican, mailman, mail person pelican. it has character here in Pelican.
Of course, that reminds me of the ceramic frogs in Calaveras County, where each of the businesses have some sort of giant. If this is a frog the size of a dining room chair or an end table, so they're really obvious frogs and stuck in front of the business. Not that it's as much as to do with mail, but just sort of reminded me of that. I think it's something that gives businesses their own unique character while maintaining the motif of the town. And this is for Calaveras with the jumping frogs. So the businesses had these giant ceramic frogs, and I think the one that I had the most amusement from was the one in front of the zip line place, and it literally was a frog with spelunking gear.
Frog with what?
A frog with climbing and spelunking gear because they did zip lines and cave tours.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it is cool. I mean, Terry and I visit small towns all over America, and there are so many of them that have wonderful personalities and uniqueness. It is a special, special time. And if any of you get a chance to travel and you're going on the freeway and you get off, drive slow, and just take some of these rural towns and drive up and down the streets, it's just a wonderful, nostalgic drive. Jeff?
Yep. And that's the thing. And you can talk about big cities all you want, but small towns hopefully will never go away because there is a character to them that will never, ever be replaced. Because while you can have these sort of mini strip mall experiences or these little shopping village things, there's something about having a place that has a road down the middle and an entire history just waiting to be explored behind every door.
I agree with that. And can go with the old. Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's all we've got for today, folks. And Again, sorry, Roland, for not showing up on time, unlike the postal mail, which always never is stopped by rain, sleet, or snow. See you next week for more Old Men Stories.
Though the days of the Pony Express are long gone, and email has pervaded our world, some things still need to be shipped by mail. What sort of packaging tales will you weigh in with? Jeff Young.
Roland Willits.
Old Men Stories.
You've been listening to Old Men Stories on WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network. The story for the day may end here, but the adventure continues. Join us next time for another round of stories around the virtual campfire. Roland and Jeff want to hear what stories you have to share, too. Join the circle over at www.oldmenstories.org or send Roland and Jeff an email at oldmenstories@wq4d.net. That's oldmenstories@wq4d.net. And remember that you are already a master storyteller in your own right. We want to hear your story.